हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
okay. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 16, Spontaneous Devotional Service, further described, page 43. Srila Jiva Goswami. Yah is in the masculine, but indicates any person, either man or woman. This person serves according to the path of Vaidhi, with a desire for an amorous relation, Rira Riram Sham, with Krishna, but not with the quality of the gopi's love. The word shushtu, excellent, indicates that the desire is tinged with the bhava like that of a queen of Dwarka, rather than with the conjugal bhava of a maidservant. Serving according to Vaidhi Bhakti, though using mantras for meditating on the love of the gopis, and of course using mantras and procedures for meditating on the love of the queens of Dwarka, they will achieve the bhava of the queens rather than the gopis. Kevalena means they execute the service without having desires for a relationship in Vraja. Thus, when they perform service in Vaidhi Bhakti, desiring a conjugal relationship like the queens, Shushtu, but without the desire for a relationship like that of the gopis, Kevalena, they attain the status of a follower of the queens in Dwarka. This is because of the great respect they have for the queens of Dwarka in the Avarana Puja, secondary worship after worshiping Krishna, using the 10-syllable mantra, footnote 24. Okay. They attain the status sometime in the future after some delay, tada, but not as quickly as Raghunuka Bhakti, footnote 24. The 10-syllable mantra is Govindaya Gopijana Vallabhaya Swaha. Even though some devotees may use this mantra indicating Gopi Bhava while doing deity service, they have aspiration for the Bhava of the queens of Dwarka and real attraction for the worship of the queens and the secondary rituals of worship performed after they worship the worship of Krishna. That means that when you're performing the worship, you're doing all the worship. When those items are finished, then in the 16th item, then you're going to worship those things connected to Krishna. So then and there, that's when then the worship of the queens and all the aspects of Dwarka will come in. Right?
To do that technically, you need to have a specific line to do that, or you do it out of your own sentiment?
It would be specifically, you would come in that line, but why these things are pointed out so that somebody doesn't, in their not understanding what's happening, take up these things. You know, like that. Because what he's pointing out here is you're using mantras and techniques in connection with following the footsteps of the gopis in Vrindavan, but because you're applying it to the queens at Dwarka, it will go that direction. It's not what you're using, it's going to go where what it's aimed at. Right? Yeah. That's the whole point. Yes.
Because
the end result is that how they wanted to serve. So they're both attracted by the beauty. But one, it was about their own enjoyment in it, therefore Kubja, and the other was more, it was about Krishna's enjoyment, therefore gopis. Right? And if it had been in between, they end up in Dwarka. They use the 10-syllable mantra indicating its Vrindavan form. This secondary worship, Avarana Puja, is described in Vaidhi Bhakti Archana. It is described in the Hari Bhakti Vilas 7.3.64. In the first Avarana, the Shaktas are worshipped. In the second, the Devatas of the body. In the third Avarana, the queens of Dwarka. In the fourth Avarana, the elders and gopis. In the fifth Avarana, the trees. In the sixth Avarana, the deities of the directions. In the seventh Avarana, the weapons. Right, so you have those groups, because that's all part of when you're worshiping, then you're going to be doing, that's the secondary worship. Right? Avarana Puja means that which is connected to, associates or paraphernalia or anything like that. So depending upon that, then that's how it's done. Does that make sense? So, here is that's in your regular puja you're doing that. So that's coming from the pancharatric aspect. So then that means that that's going to be your main worship. We'll see when Gopal Bhatta Goswami is giving the rituals in the yajna, then there in the preliminaries too, then the Vedic yajna has a particular set of personalities that it must worship. So then he replaces those, you know, based on the Sanaka Sanaka Samhita or something. Which one? Sanat Kumar Samhita. That he shows in there how you're going back to the origins of these personalities. So one's about Durga, then it'll use the queens and all that for that. So it's a particular thing is that you have to worship the nine planets, the ten directions, and what's called the Matrigana, or the 16, I think it's the 16 mothers. You know, all within within the creation. So then Sunat Kumar shows how for the nine planets you worship the Nava Yogendras, and for the ten directions you worship the ten Mahabhagavats. And then for the Matriganas, then it has all the different Shaktis and all that of in Krishna's pastimes, Dwarka pastimes like this. So we see that's a preliminary aspect. That's just to fulfill the need of the Vedic understanding there is that we have to know that we're approaching the Lord through authorities. But it's not like in the Avarana where it's something that's important and connected with the deity, and that's how we're seeing the deity. So they're worshipping Krishna, but at the same time in the Avarana they're worshipping the queens. Because it's the same Krishna that's now in Dwarka. So he'll reciprocate in that way. So you know, like before we said, By being attracted to the beauty of Ramachandra, you get the Mahishis at Mathura, or you get the Gopis in Vrindavan. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, because it's the same Krishna. As a personality, it's the same Krishna. It's just depending upon the mood of the devotees, then he'll manifest the qualities he has to that degree. So in Braja, it's full manifestation. And so in Mathura and Dwarka, it'll be a little bit less because the devotees there are seeing only certain aspects. Right? It's more than in Vaikuntha. That's why it's Goloka. But we don't see that in the pastimes that they're saying he's a different person. When the gopis go to Dwarka, go to Kurukshetra, they don't say, oh, this is Dwarka Krishna. It has nothing to do with us. Right? So we have to be very, very careful because sometimes devotees push that too much, just like one devotee was saying something, oh, but that's Vishnu. Prabhupada says, no, but they're the same person. It's Krishna. He's Krishna. He's just, those are the devotees. He's reciprocating in honor and reverence. But it's still Krishna who's doing that. Right? So he's doing through his avatars, but it's still him. Just like when he's doing everything here in the world, through his energies, it's still him. So you can always see Krishna wherever it is. Does that make sense? Yes.
Right, so we followed the same process which is given by Srila Prabhupada and Acharyas. We chant the same mantras. So does it mean we're all going to go to the same place?
As long as your goal is Vrindavan, yes. And if not, the process will... It's slower than our process to get you to the place, but it'll be quicker than other processes. In other words, using our process of worship of Krishna and our mantras will get you to Dwarka quicker than using all the Dwarka stuff or the Vaikuntha stuff.
because here it mentions Vaidhi and Rav, so those who follow Rav, only those can go to Braj. But if it doesn't change...
No, but what's your goal? It's about your goal. It's not that you have to be on the platform of Rav to get into Gokul. Right? Mm-hmm. So... the point is if you remember Krishna at the time of death, you go to Krishna. That's the rule. Then, but according to your level of realization, in other words, all the levels of realization from our, from hell up to liberation, that's already cleared. You're on the liberated platform. But however advanced you were on the positive, in other words, the negative is cleared by leaving your body thinking of Krishna. So you're liberated, you go to Bhoma Lila. But however much you're developed in the positive, that attraction for Krishna, that's where you're going to start. So if you're a neophyte on that, you're going to start as a neophyte in Gokul. You're in the spiritual body, but you're still a neophyte. If you're a Madhyama, you'll be a Madhyama. If you're Uttama, you'll be an Uttama. But it's designed that whatever your position in that time of the pastime, right, means from Krishna's appearance and all the gopis' appearance up to the point of the pastimes of Dantavakra, then when Krishna comes back to Vrindavan, in there everyone will either come to prema, and then they'll just enter the apricot pastimes. Right? So this thing is, oh, unless you're in rag, then you can't get there. These are all just said so that you take it. It's using the quality of fear to get people to take, their expression of rag and nuga bhakti seriously. That's all. And like I said before, it's just techniques. All these techniques have been worked out. Like that. So it's just standard stuff. So they're going to use these things just to get No. Krishna does not say that in Gita. He says you remember him, you go to him. Right? So now the point is if Krishna is your ultimate goal, why you won't go there? Because the point is when we say about all these things, you can have the goal, but you can't use it unless you have that level of understanding. So us, we're appreciating Krishna. That's Shantarasa. Right? Because then the whole point comes down to is that then you're appreciating. But then unless there's that sense of that active, it becomes dynamic, then there's only the point of servitorship. Right? And only when servitorship then takes on intimacy, then it becomes friendship. Right, and then when it takes on the thing of being superior, then it takes on parental. So we don't have those attitudes in relation to Krishna. Right, we may be doing service and that here, but that is a positive and it's towards Krishna. But what's our actual developed relationship with Krishna? It's just that of service, and even a lot of that's just because it's the rule. So when we're talking about that, so we're not saying it's dasya rasa or dasya, dasya rati. It just means that there's that sense of that, so it's moved forward a bit. And so then one's a sadhaka. And the form of sadhana is always that, the rules given in Vaidhi. So the difference between the two is simply the mood. It's nothing to do with what rules you're following. So you'll see those devotees following Vaidhi, and they may be on rag. But it's not that they change. It's not a different padati. Right? Because as we see here, even you're following our Gaudiya padati and chanting the 10-syllable mantra, doesn't mean if your goal is Dwarka, you'll go to Dwarka. So this idea is, no, you have to do that to get into Vrindavan. No, you don't. You have to have the attitude to get into Vrindavan. The form, it'll take you anywhere. Does that make sense? It's just like you get in a car. It will take you anywhere in the city. Not that, no, you have to get in a car to go back to Godhead. But it can also take you to, Indra's place. It can also take you to Kailash. It can also take you down to Patal. Does that make sense? So, we've been given the process that is used by us with the attitude. So then it will move in that direction. So that's why it's the attitude that's most important. The reason, because we're seeing things secondarily because of our not seeing the primary of Krishna. That gives us the material consciousness. So it's natural when we're looking at spiritual, we're going to say, okay, what's the secondary, you know, we won't say it's secondary. Well, what's the form of it? What's the rules and regulations? Because they're saying, unless you, you know, read about the gopis, unless you do this, then you can't get into Vrindavan. Because only with rag can you get there. But everything I've stated now is purely vaidhi, zero rag. Because it's a rule, you have to do it. Rag means you're doing it because you like it. Right? Kids eat sweets because it's the rule, right? Kids are supposed to eat sweets and all that, and then they grow up, then they lose that taste for sweets, and then they eat less sweets, right? So, therefore, the kid is that, you know, come on, you know, like that, and, you know, take more, you know, this and that. No, I can't because I have to eat more sweets. I'm a kid, you know, and kids are supposed to eat more sweets and all that. So to follow my duties, I can't eat as much of these salty things. So I'm going to have to leave some room for the sweets. Oh, yes, right. Sorry. Excuse me. You know, I'm just so used to serving your dad and he's so over sweets, you know, so it's like that. Right? Or kids eat sweets because they like sweets. That's wrong. That's the fun part. It's that simple. We complicate it because that's how we got here. We complicate things. Just do it connected to Krishna. That no, it's about this, and it's the knowledge, it's the skill, it's the technique, it's the, you know, it's the trick, it's that, that's all the things. So we're looking for the tricks. But there are no tricks. Just remember Krishna. That's the, always remember Krishna, never forget. That's the trick. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, That's the thing is that it has nothing to do with those things. So that's why the Acharya is pointing out here, because they're talking about spontaneous devotional service, is that these fine points, be careful, because sometimes you see devotees pick up things from other sampradayas and toss them in for fun. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's like the what do you call it? Remember the Dwarkashilas?
Yeah.
It was big in the end of the 80s. That's when it started. End of the 80s into the 90s. Like that. That Dwarkashila, and they had, you know, Zenas Balaram and this and that and so many things. They're going on about it and all that. And then somebody took a Dwarkashila into Prabhupada and said, you know, I had this Dwarkashila and they handed it to Prabhupada. What is this good for? Prabhupada had some papers on the table. He took it and goes, a paperweight. Because for us, it's not an important thing. It's an important thing in Dwarka because it has all the different forms of, you know, Ananta and Sesha and this and that and so many other things like that. So for them it's important. But for us it's not. It means it's Tadiya. But we were taking it and worshipping it directly as the deity. Well, we don't need to do that. You have them, you can. You know what I'm saying? It means it does work because it is accepted in Hari Bhakti the Lost that it is that represents that, but it's tadiya. It's just like, let's say you have a stone from a hobalam. So you're worshipping as Nisringa, because, but it's tadiya. That's how it's Krishna. It's not direct, just like the guru represents Krishna, so you're worshipping. It's not that now he is Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's from that aspect then you're doing. So without that subtle understanding, then they could be mixing their devotion with all kinds of things. They could say, well, how do we know? But who told you to do that? Prabhupada didn't. So unless you understand how that goes through and how it's tadiya in that way, then only it has a meaning. But then you have to be able to see that all the way back to Krishna, and then why you don't need to do that. Does that make sense?
Previous point about seeing Krishna in everything rather than his energy. Recently, someone, I was having a discussion and this person said, but you know, Krishna is busy with the gopis in the yoga. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't, it's not really involved in making it.
It's not him, so who is it?
Yeah, exactly. So, what's a good argument or what's a good.
It's not him. So Alfred E. Newman, maybe he's the one that says.
It's not him directly.
It's not him directly, Yeah, and so what has that got to do with you? Are you directly involved in the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis? So if you're not, so why are you so worried that he's not? You know, as if they are and then everybody else and they're... The point is he does all that through his expansions, but it's him doing that. It's just like, let's say, if you were sitting on the couch, right, and you're busy doing something, right, and you're hungry. Now, we have to get up and walk into the kitchen. Now, if you could expand yourself to go walk into the kitchen and find something to eat, would you not do that? Then you can sit there and do what you're doing. But that doesn't mean that expansion's not you. Now it takes on a whole other thing. Yeah, I mean, that's what it, that would be the... Sorry, it takes on the evil twin, you know, comes out and, you know, puts glass in your sandwich or something. And then when you're eating it, then it sits there and laughs. Like that, you know, right? But who's Vishnu? Prabhupada, that's where we started out the class saying. Prabhupada said, don't make such a distinction because it's Krishna. That's like saying when the father goes to the office, he's not my father anymore. It's just the mood there and that he deals in that way. He doesn't deal like he does at home. But if the kid deals with him, he'll still call him his son. So that's the whole point. But if they see it like that, then yes, Krishna in this won't deal with them like Krishna in Vrindavan. But the fun part is he won't deal with them as Krishna in Vrindavan either. The gopis see the tamal tree and it's Krishna. So what are they talking about? What shastra are they using? Where do they get all this nonsense? This is why you have to be careful who you're talking to and all that. You know? The Lord just indiscriminately go anywhere and everywhere. He says, if anything's common, oh, it's like us. Yes. Can they be a gopi next life? But the point is why would they? It means they already have their relationship with Krishna. What means if you're using someone who already is in Krishna's pastimes with the relationship, then that's the relationship that they are comfortable with Krishna. You understand? So why is that? So we don't need to say can they change? The point is for us, it's just. For us, that you're developing the relationship, but as said before by the Acharya, you're just developing the relationship that's already inherent. Right? But we'll come up with this point because we're worried that do we have options? You know, I always want to have my options open that at any time if I want, I could jump out and take up, you know, it's just like, okay, I want to, it's early in the morning, so it's all happening and Mother Jashoda's house, so therefore I want to be able to move with, you know, Mother Jashoda and her scene, so then we'll have the parental rasa. And that's all right, and it's cool up to, you know, when Krishna's leaving for going into the forest, because Mother Jashoda and all that can go right out the gate, you know, a bit and all that. No one's going to be disturbed. Nanda Baba won't do that. They'll go, come on, you're a man. Why are you being so sentimental? But she's being a woman. She can go out there a bit, and everyone will think it's cool. You know, just go, oh, so much love and everything like that. But once he's left for the forest, now it's a problem. You got to go back in. So when everybody else goes in, then you morph into your cowherd boy form. And then you go out and play with Krishna and everything like that. And then like that. But then Krishna then sneaks off and leaves Balaram there. I mean, he's cool. But, you know, then you morph into your gopi form and then go to Radhakund and all that. And then you're there doing all the pastimes and all that. And then, you know, they say. But then now here comes the real problem is that sometimes... By the arrangement, oh no, then we'd morph back into, you know, the, how you say, the cowherd boys, you know, like that, to go, you know, because going with Krishna and back into Vrindavan and all that, and then once we get there, then again his mother showed a scene, so we'll morph back into the elder gopi and all that, then Krishna will take rest, then we have to be a gopi again, so we'll morph into that. But the problem is that sometimes he's with Radharani, sometimes with other rivals, so then depending upon which gopi he's with, will turn into you know, someone in that group. You understand? So who's going to take that person seriously? No one in the spiritual world will want to have anything to do with this person. totally untrustworthy. It's about themselves. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be very, very clear is that we have a natural relationship, and because it is us, we'll be happy with it. They have different relationships. It's their relationship. They are talking with Krishna in Braj directly. So they have their relationship. And whatever that will be established. Someone said what the relationship was?
Yeah, it's the same like ladies of Mathura.
Yeah, so it's a Mathura relationship. So then in the they'll go into that, and then they'll be happy. They'll be sitting on the roof watching when Krishna comes in.
They're just on the border.
Yeah, because they're on the edge. That's why they're so freaked out about going all the way to Vrindavan to surrender to Krishna. Because Kamsa is right next door, so the Brahmins are worried that his spies will be out. Where are you going? Oh, you're going to see Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Is it necessary that we read?
They say that it is necessary that we
Who's they?
The Raga Bhaktas.
The Raga Bhaktas. But now here's what we're getting. I'm going to ask you this question first. Have I covered the points that you're going to ask about? Have we discussed it? And if so, can you apply these particular group of Raga Bhaktas to anything that we've said? And if so, then is there actually a need for the question? So unless there's something different that it doesn't directly apply here, but applies this and then something else we said before, I put those two points together, it's answered. If it's a matter of I go through it and it doesn't make any sense, then okay. You know, it's like this morning, the question we had over here, that what was it on that element of impersonalism? That was something dealing with impersonalism. Came across this and answered this, and that answers. But this I couldn't answer. So then they asked that question. You understand? That's the question to ask. Don't just say that. Okay, I met this Raganuga Bhakta. He said this. Okay, and I said. Oh, but and then I met this Raganuga Bhakta, and he said that. But then there's this other Raganuga Bhakta, you know, like that. And he said Radhika, while the other guy said Govardhan. And then another guy said, well, actually, Suryakund is the place, because that's where you do that. And so but the point is we have our acharyas, we have our thing, what's the point? So, that's the point, is it answered? By thinking about it, is it answered? In other words, are we dealing here with, what did you say? With pratibimba. Is that something said, bang, it just bounces off and comes right back. If we're dealing with that, we're not supposed to be dealing with that. And like I said, I'm going to slowly wind this down. And this is how I'm going to do it. Because I'm going to ask you, have you gone through it? And if you have, then if you still have, I'm going to ask you why you asked that question. We already answered that. Does that make sense?
How to
argue with them? We want to cultivate and nourish Rag by reading this. Okay. So did we discuss before about the point of we have our acharyas, we follow our acharyas? Because who said you have to read that and cultivate that? Where did they get that from? Did Prabhupada say that? No, so then they're not getting it from us. So where are they getting it from? So, I mean, we couldn't care less. Because I know they're not getting it in Navadvipa. Who's over in Navadvipa? So they're getting it in Vrindavan. They're not going to Govardhan, so they're only going to Radhika. Right? And so we've discussed, since when do we listen to them? You want to end up as a turtle in Radhakund? Go for it. You want to go, you know, you want to, you know, you want to get to a little bit better situation in Vrindavan, then stick to what we're doing. Because the point is Prabhupada makes it, those who only cultivate, we've said this before, that let us say you have a mom, right? The mom, she loves her son very much, okay? But now we see, let's say we take a typical mom. Okay, now he comes home from school. He can talk about what he did at school, and she wants to hear about it. Or she went and he was playing with friends. He comes back, oh, what did you guys do, and this and that, right? And so then that would be your typical mom, right? Now, these Raganuga moms, these are the ones, they'll only listen to pastimes and that their child had with them. And they're not interested in any other aspect because they only love their child. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
These aren't Raganuga people. These are very narrow-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
Because the point is it's Krishna. Therefore, when Krishna is talking with Uddhava and Dwarka, and the reciprocation is going on there, there's rasa. A rasik will appreciate that. These Raganugas, so-called Raganugas, don't appreciate that. That means they're not rasiks. Why do we want to associate with them? You understand? So that should cover everybody in that category. Don't say, okay, we don't have to read about it, but you know, what about hearing about it? You understand? Don't ask that. Okay? Yeah. We want to be very clear. So the idea is that you should try to take this and apply it. If having applied it, it doesn't make sense, then you ask. Please ask. But don't just work on the thing that some words are there and then just immediately there's gut reaction. There has to be thinking first. What's that? Yeah? Okay. Srila Jivago, ya is in the masculine, right? But indicates any person, either man or woman. That's very important, because the scripture is not going to go he, she, it every time. Right? They just say he. It's very easy. Otherwise, you have to talk in the third person. So, one may, which one? Or they may, who's they? But you say he, then okay. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's just a matter, it's easy. Just like, let's say you're telling, there's a story. And you're talking about, and the main person is a man. And he did this, he did that. You identify. It doesn't matter what body you're in. Kids identify, adults identify, men identify, women identify, because that's how the story works. So in the Vedic, when you say he, then that's the general term. Right? Just so it's clear, because you'll see they'll be talking about all this stuff, but they'll always be using he. And so we should not get them out of shape. Right. Yes. Okay. Okay. They attain this status sometime in the future, but after some delay, tada, but not as quickly as Raganuga Bhakti. So it will be maybe a little, you know, it'll have the same speed as Vaidhi. It won't be as quickly as Rag. But the point is that Vaidhi will be much of the time more efficient than Vaidhi on a level of those who are following a padati of worshipping the queens in Dwarka. Does that make sense? Because if you're dealing with Krishna in Vrindavan, he being complete, that also already includes Krishna in Dwarka. So it means then we see is that path works very quickly, then he can give that if that's our interest. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura. Though the sentence is in the masculine gender, it refers to people in general, men or women. Even though a person develops a strong desire for a conjugal relationship with Krishna, if that person thinks that giving up all the rules in the scripture is improper and unfavorable for nourishing his sentiments, then he attains the position of being an associate of the queens in Dwarka. Right? Means that you're worshipping Krishna, but you think it's improper to give up the rules of Scripture, right? So what is this giving up rules of Scripture? One is that it's the attitude, is I am following because it's a rule. Right? It's the rule, because then majesty means it's based on rules. It doesn't mean performing it, right? Then the other aspect is that the Acharya will mention here. Kevala, Eva, indicates completely, that much. Thus, he completely follows the rules of Vaidhi Bhakti without rejecting any portion, such as meditation on Dwarka and worship of the queens, as being unfavorable for his bhava. So, in other words, for us, we've heard that you don't do this, so we'll not do this because of Vaidhi. But we're willing to give up those rules of Vaidhi that the Acharyas say you don't need to follow. And we're very but we'll strictly follow what they've given us because they've said to do. Then at some time we do this because it's pleasing to them. And that's the reason, not because it's the rule. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like Mother Yashoda cooks for Krishna, not because it's the rule, being a mother she has to cook. It's because she wants to cook for Krishna. She likes to cook for Krishna. She likes to please Krishna by cooking. You understand? So, the rules come from these devotees. Right? We want to develop that kind of sentiment of the Brajbasis. Then, the activities they perform, that's what goes into our sadhana. As is indicated, that it's the primary aspect that is given to us. And then the secondary, as is useful. Right? Does that make sense? Otherwise, it would have to be, first build a house with 100 rooms in it. Then after that, then you have to cook and, you know, on 100 stoves. She has 100 stoves in her kitchen, literally. And they light all of them when they cook breakfast for Krishna. Right? We have a song about that, right? Shukta Shakari Bhaji Nalita Kashmanda Dali Dala Dugda Tuk. You know, it just means, it's mentioning the main points and just as categories. That means it keeps going. Shukta Shak Adi means all the bitters and spinaches. You know, and there's a lot of stuff in there. So that means then you can also have the, what do you call it? The appetizers. You know, any kind of differentiation in a drink or something that might be there. Someone explained to me is also, you can have this thing with bitter dal. Karela and the dal, it's a bitter dal. And you'll take that, use that, because normally you only take dal after spinach. But you could take that with something that was bitter. You don't see this often, because who wants to cook two dals? Because then you'd have to cook a regular dal. Right, but they can also have a sweet dal that goes, you know, with certain things, and you understand. So when they say shukta shak adi, that means all those things, and you can do all kinds of spinaches, all kinds of bitters, because there's different categories of them. Right? Does that make sense? And then you get into the other aspects. So when they cook on 100 stoves, that means they're cooking on 100 stoves. So there's a lot of people there. Yeah. So we don't have to do that to cook for Krishna. Okay. That is the signified by the word Eva, exactly. Amar Kosh definition of Kevalam is Nir nite kevalam iti tri lingam tveka kritsnayo kevalam. Kevalam has the sense of fixing or ascertaining. Thus the meaning is, he serves according to Vaidhi Bhakti, as ascertained by the rules exactly, not rejecting anything. Right? So that's the point of fixing. He's not exactly, only in this way. So then when something comes, you can't do that. Then that's the problem. Just like, let's say in the deity worship, you have in the tradition, in the big temples, you have festival pujaris and you have the daily puja pujaris. And some can work in both, but who leads it, they're different people. Why? Because the daily pujari, they do the same thing every day. It's nitya. So they always follow that. So that's why you see on puja somebody thinks that's so late. Because it's time for this, but they have to do this and that and that and that and that and like that. The festival, they adjust with the situation. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so let's say, okay, you're supposed to offer 1,008 ahutis here. But, you know, you can also offer 108. You could also offer 28 or 18 or 8. So something's gone along, something went wrong, the timing's off and all that, so they have to get this done, the abhishek's at this time, so the yajna has to be finished. So instead of doing 1,008 ahutis like they're doing, they're only doing 108. They can adjust. The daily puja generally can't. No, it's supposed to be 1,008, we always do 1,008, you know, something will be wrong if we don't do 1,008. No, there's a principle there, you attain that principle. You understand? So like that. That's the whole thing. When we're at home, we go into the bathroom, then we wash our hands, mouth, and feet. But when we're out traveling in the car and all that, we only wash our hands and mouth. Right? And if the bathroom's too weird, we don't do any of that there. We go out and there's a bottle of water at the car, there we wash our hands and mouth. You understand? So that's the ability to adjust the rules. But Vaidhi, no, it has to be like that and it won't change. Why? Because we know the principle. The principle is cleanliness. Then we can apply it. So they don't reject anything. So Acharyas have said these things we don't do and they won't reject them. Oh no, you have to make this, you have to make that. Acharyas have given us already what works very nicely. And so we follow that. But we have to know the principle, because even at times, we have to make adjustment to the situation. But if it can be done in the way that they advise, why wouldn't we? I mean, naturally. Those who have a desire to taste the sweetness of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, but worship according to Vaidhi Bhakti, using nyasas and mudras, do not attain Krishna and Dwarka with Rukmini, because they do not have that aspiration. Nor can they attain Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan because they lack the worship on the path of Rag. Therefore, since they have a predominance of awareness of Krishna as the Lord, Aishwarya Jnana, in worshipping according to the path of rules, Vaidhi, they attain Radha and Krishna in a portion of Vrindavan called Goloka, in correspondence to that worship. Right? So here's showing even more fun. Right? Means is that, remember we were talking before, these acharyas talk about sometimes it's called lower Goloka, or like this and that. In other words, you have Gokul and you have Goloka. Remember before that the acharyas were explaining it in that way. So, Braj means Vrindavan, right? And Braj Vrindavan. Goloka means anything else other than that. Above Vaikuntha. Right? So Dwarka, Mathura, and these aspects of Vrindavan where you're worshipping Krishna, but it has that sense of opulence. There's more sweetness than there'll be in Mathura, because he won't have forearms and all that. It'll be Vrindavan pastimes, but it'll be in opulence. Right? Like we see is that sometimes then it mentions that Radharani, when we're talking about Vrindavan and Goloka, right? Because when Prabhupada is saying Goloka Vrindavan, he means the Vrindavan or Braja in Goloka, just so that we know. But here, this is being used in a different way. So then, that's what the other acharyas and other sampradayas are talking about. They're not talking about Braj. That's why also, again, something that Lord Chaitanya has given that hasn't been given before. Right? So then this Radharani goes out with her associates, in the dead of night to meet Krishna, and they'll go out, barefoot through the forest and this and that. But in this Vrindavan that has that little bit of Vaidhi to it, Radharani goes to the meeting point in a swan airplane. Right? And in Braj, Radharani will have 5,000 to 6,000 maidservants. But in this one, she goes with 10 million. Right? Because you have the aspect of opulence, so they do a much bigger thing. Right? So the sweetness is reduced because of that touch of... So he's mentioning here, if there's that goal to attain Radha and Krishna, like that awareness is there, and you're willing to, therefore, make adjustments for that, then you can attain Braj. If you're, following... But then if you want to follow all the rules, you don't want to make the adjustments, then if you're not focusing on the queens at Dwarka, but you're doing all those kind of things because it's the rules, then you'll go to this portion of Vrindavan called Goloka. Then, if it's about worshiping the queens at Dwarka and all that, you have that more of that mood like that, then you'll go there. So the same worship will take you to three different places. Right?
It's even more confusing than in the beginning.
Yeah. No, but this is what I'm talking about. This is the stuff that they should be talking about, not this all this other nonsense. So they're talking rag bhakti. This is how you define it. You know? So, in other words, nyasas and mudras, that they're given to us by the acharyas to use in the preliminaries, but not in the actual worship. But if you use the ones in the actual worship, then that's where you end up in this kind of place. Right? Like I remember one devotee, he'd used all the technical stuff like that. And I said, aren't you worried you'll end up in Vaikuntha or something like that? And he says, well, it's out of the material world. What do I care? You know, so he won't attain Braj. Because as long as he's out of the material world, and he's using Vaidhi as his main thing, that he wants to make sure by following the Vaidhi I get out, then it's about liberation. It's not Braj. You know? So, yeah. It is understood that they do not attain the Vrindavana pure sweetness, right? It's sweetness, but not pure sweetness. You know, so that's what Nimbarka gives, because they're also Raganuga Bhaktas. But there'll be that touch of this, so that's where they're going. Right? Sri Rupa Goswami has praised this Goloka as a portion of Vrindavana in Stavamala. Quote, after thoroughly showing Vaikuntha to his friends and relatives, with ease he brought them back to Vrindavan. Since that place did not have pleasant inhabitants, or a Vrindavan. May that Mukunda protect you. Nanda, Paharana, Kanto, Shadastakam, 13, Stavamala. The word Vaikuntha in this verse means Krishna Vaikuntha Goloka. Very well. The place where Krishna resides with majesty. In the 10th canto, it's described how Krishna took all the coward men to Goloka, a Vaikuntha, place of mystery, because it says he took them to Vaikuntha. So it's this Vaikuntha. Belonging to Krishna in order to illustrate the special sweetness of Vrindavan to them. So they go to that, and then they see that what do you call it? Did not have pleasant inhabitants or Vrindavan. So it didn't have that same mood or that flavor, that sweetness. So then when they go back, they're very happy. They said they want to see. Then they see it has less flavor. So you're naturally going to... Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, okay, you have, let's say, how is this going to work? Okay, let's say you have a room, and in it, it's set up very nicely, and that. So that'll have a very nice taste. But then the next room, it is set up nicely, and it has some nice lighting. So it'll have more of a taste. And the next one has, it's set up nicely, has nice lighting, and there's some nice fragrances burning. Right? Does that make sense? And then the next one has all that, plus some nice food. You understand? So, if you're in that last one, and you say, oh, but what about this other one? And you show them that, then it's kind of like, well, where's the lighting, where's the food, where's the smell, you know. It's the same place. So in other words, it's Vrindavan. But it's just, you reduce down all those things. And for many, that's the taste they want. I was going to use an eating one, but then the problem is there's too many levels of who likes what. Yeah, so those who like less taste, then they wouldn't appreciate the example I would have given, right? Yes. Okay. Thus, deeply considering the situation, the all-merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, revealed to the coward man his own abode, which is beyond material darkness. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.28.14. The coward men were brought by Lord Krishna to the Brahma Prada, where Akrura had gone prior to the Bhagavatam narration, and were submerged in the water and then lifted up. The cowherd men then saw the abode of the Lord. Right, that same place where Akrura had taken bath and then saw the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.28.16. Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men felt the greatest happiness when they saw that transcendental abode. They were especially amazed to see Krishna himself there, surrounded by the personified Vedas, who were offering him prayers. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.28.17. So, we're seeing it's a different place. Even though it's Vrindavan, it's still because the mood's different. It's differently situated. So it's between. So you have Braj, then you have Goloka. So it's Vrindavan within Goloka. Does that make sense? You know, as they said here, Krishna Vaikuntha Goloka. Right? And then you add more Vaikuntha, then you get Mathura. More Vaikuntha again, you get Dwarka. Add more Vaikuntha again, you'll get Ayodhya. Add more Vaikuntha again, then you end up out in Vaikuntha. Right? So, no Krishna. Yeah, and no Goloka. Just Vaikuntha. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of taste. So that's why it's very important about this. We're taking it as that it's the secondary activities. No, it's not. It's the flavor of it, the attitude of it that makes the distinction. Otherwise, you'll see so many of the activities and that will be exactly the same for any of the realms. So you're trying to be very exact here. Right? So that means, and what Prabhupada's given us, that's the exact. Then we can refine that understanding by hearing from the acharyas, then we start to understand what Prabhupada's talking about. Right? So then we see it's exact. There is nothing else. No attachments, no this. Because when we're looking at what's the whole point of the Aishvarya. Yes. What's the point of the Aishvarya? The greatness. So who does the greatness matter to? Us. But now to Krishna, then he is Aishwarya. Right? And so then that means it's not special. So yes, bhakti can be applied to that, but it's not special. So for him, what's special is the sweetness. So that means then when the worship is done about the sweetness for Krishna's pleasure, because you can also get, we want more sweetness, but it's still about us. Then you can get all these Goloka places. But when it's about sweetness for Krishna's pleasure, nothing for ourselves. It's about His pleasure. And only His pleasure, that's our pleasure. That's then Braj. So that's why this point of surrender, no karma, jnana, these things without, all these kind of things that we talk about, all the upadis, is simply to get to that point of that total surrender to Krishna that's just about what makes Him happy. Right? And that's our goal. So we're very clear on the goal. So even though we have material desire, we can deal with that in connection to Krishna as much as our realization affords, that we connect it to Krishna for His happiness, though there's also our happiness mixed in. But because the goal is Braj, then we gradually come that way. But if it's not, then we can end up in something in between. That's why saying we're not doing what Prabhupada says and we're all going to end up in the same place anyway, that's not logical. Right? It's not expressed here by the acharyas. And this acharya happens to be Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, who all the Raganuga Bhaktas really like to quote. But he wrote Ragbhart Machandra. Does that make sense? Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.